place is creepy.
What are you guys, babies or something? This place ain't that bad.
Well, look at it, Matt. It looks like it's haunted. Let's just go home and watch Halloween Havoc and forget all about this one. We've got plenty of candy already.
Wah, wah, who cares about candy? I came here to see something scary. Cool.
I think I hear Mom calling.
Sisters, what a pain. Who brought her?
Hi, kids.
Wow, it's Tony Schiavone. Hey, shouldn't you be at the pay-per-view?
I'll show you something scary. Who's that?
Live from Belfast, Northern Ireland, you're listening to the Four Sweet Horsemen Podcast with Richard Drew, Andrew Moore, Chris Curlett, and Stephen Curry.
Welcome to the Four Speed Horseman Podcast. My name is Richard.
I'm Andrew.
I'm Curry.
Chris.
Okay, judging if you can already by Chris's tone, he's not best pleased about this match we're going to be covering today.
Fuck him.
Because it involves one of his wrestling heroes.
It is a match.
Who fucking gliped his way through this match. Now, to be fair,
it's not even that he fucking gliped his way through his match. It was that fucking retard Vader.
Oh, how dare you make fun of Leon White, you prick.
Fuck him.
Okay.
God rest his wee soul. Well, we're sure the rafters of this one, that guy.
He only died in June, you prick. Last.
That doesn't mean that he can be a fucking bad wrestler back in 93.
Bad wrestler? You are fucking grinding my gears.
No, I'm not saying that he was a bad wrestler in general. But this match was shit. He just fucking stood there like,
are you fucking serious?
Sunset flip over back. Do you know what? Just what? Go ahead. No, just fucking go.
Did I send him the wrong fucking link again or what?
No, I fucking looked it up in the network.
Prick.
Should be fucking wiped. Sorry, Andy.
Trip. Should we just go get a pint while he's...
I think we should. Okay,
I'm not giving you a fucking left home. No fight.
Fuck you.
Right, okay, in case anyone listening to this isn't aware, I'm pretty sure you're aware of
it. You read the title.
Have we even told them what match we're fucking doing? Oh, never mind.
No.
We're getting to that. We're
calm your fucking head.
I can't, I'm fucking...
Shut up!
Sorry.
Shut up!
Let's talk about the opener.
Shut up! I am!
Okay.
I love you seeing so.
Shut up!
Sort those peaks out the audio file. Good luck.
Go fuck yourself, right? I'm going to end up arguing with you.
So, anyway, on today's episode, we are talking about WCW's Halloween Havoc 1993 and the main event, which is Cactus Jack versus Vader in a Texas Death Match.
Yes, and it's awesome!
Yeah.
Is it though?
Yes!
No. Look, to be honest, I have to say, I was like,
you guys.
What the fuck was a Texas Deathmatch? Because I wasn't really sure.
I still not really sure.
Would you like me to tell you what a fucking Texas Deathmatch is?
We can get to that.
Why would you know about it?
Because I fucking wrote it down because it makes no sense.
Okay, you explain what a Texas Deathmatch is first.
Idiot.
Right.
Can't be happy about it. Be the happy
Chris. Come on, Chris. You're supposed to be the uplifting.
You're meant to be the positive one of the group.
I can't be positive with it. I'm so angry.
Right, bear in mind, this is not the first ever.
Did Vader shat?
The way you're making it out, it's like some shit.
It's the first one I ever seen, and it'll be the last as well.
Did Vader take a shit piss in your cereal this morning?
Oh, I don't know. So I'm not allowed to say bad things about him because he's dead. Right?
You're a horse as fuck, man.
Baby, we got dark.
Wow.
Vader's gonna come back from the dead and fucking haunt
and
you.
And lamp me?
I hope he fucking Vader fucking bombs you in bed.
Well, if it's like he did in this match, he'd just appear in my room and just stand there like a fucking plank. What's a plank?
I cannot believe that you seriously are not rating Vader as a wrestler.
In this match, no.
No. This match
is a shit show.
Well, then you obviously haven't watched Vader versus Will Ospreay.
Well, you obviously haven't fucking watched enough wrestling as you say you do.
I like Vader, but not in this match. Anyway.
Sorry,
Texas Deathmatch is, it's no disqualification.
Okay, it seems simple enough.
Falls don't count. and there's 30 seconds after any fall, even though they don't count.
No, they don't count because it's not a fucking win if you get a fall. You
I know that's what I'm getting at, right? Falls don't count.
So why fall then?
But yeah,
why
do you
right, you have to get so many falls?
No.
No.
Do you want me to explain it?
Right, go. Keep your... Right, keep going. Okay. Falls don't count, but you can still pin someone. And if you pin someone for a three count, you get a 30-second wee rest.
Yes.
Fader needed a wee rest.
But that then, didn't fly in the match because, well, I've got points about
that. It did, because sure, any time they pinned each other,
right, let's not get to the end.
One of the times when they pinned, they didn't wait the 30 seconds, and then they got straight back into it.
Let's just keep great. Go. Come on, Chris.
Well, then, there's
so what the fuck's a point?
There's supposed to be a 30-second rest bite after each pin, and then after 30 seconds, the ref will then start a 10 count.
Yes.
And if you can't get up before the 10 count, then you lose the match. So it's a fucking last man standing match with a wee fucking smoke break in between each one.
And what's wrong with that?
It's fucking stupid.
You're in Texas.
You've got 40 seconds to get up.
It's a bit stupid, to be fair.
Wrestling's a bit stupid, and we're singling out a match.
Yeah, but some parts of wrestling are more stupid.
Well, I think we should
probably... Well, Curry, you fucking describe the match then and make it sound like it actually matters. Go on.
A Texas death match.
Uh-huh.
Is a match... That is no disqualification, and pins do not technically fucking count.
Then why have them in the match?
They enable a rest period of 30 seconds for both parties, and if the person who is down is unable to stand after 10 seconds, it's declared a win.
So you're telling me that WCW thought of a match?
No, they didn't. Matches have been around since the year 1963.
Yeah. Fuck.
This is not a fucking
new
thing.
No, it's not a daft WCW stuff.
Well,
no,
some things are best left back in the fucking 60s, like...
Rafter matches,
Texas death match, casual racism in America.
Bootstrap matches,
you know, all that shit should be left back in.
I thought it was fucking cool. The only thing that I didn't like about it was the fact that WCW and Eric Bischoff had that big Wheel of Fortune fucking thing where they spun it around.
We're getting well ahead of ourselves. Let's not spoil it for anyone listening.
Okay. Let's go way back to
this. Can we go to the opening of the pay-per-view?
I think we should frame...
I feel like this is a talking point.
We should frame... Yeah, I think we should frame this pay-per-view in terms of its promo package from the start.
Halloween fucking Havoc 93.
Which, for context, though, Halloween Havoc was probably like number 2 in WCW's new hierarchy of pay-per-views, second only to Starcade.
It definitely was a number 2.
Have you ever watched any other Halloween Havocs?
No.
Well then fuck up!
WCW were great this year.
Yeah, you dickhead.
Normally, but I will qualify.
I wouldn't say no, I wouldn't go that far. I'd say they're on the cusp of being good.
Yeah.
And then they get really shit really quick.
WWF wasn't great either.
Wrestling was a bit shit back then.
It was
in 93.
I think we were kids.
You had the fucking Glazer and stuff back
then. This is when the fucking Glazer was top bill material, for fuck's sake. No, 93, this is when I was throwing the towel in. Like,
Hulk Hogan had just signed, I think, with
WCW
at this point.
Yeah. I was 3, so I wasn't even watching this at all. I had no idea wrestling
existed.
So
your fucking points are mute.
Actually, in the UK at the time, we didn't get any of it. We got WCW Saturday night. On Saturday morning.
Saturday tea time.
Yeah,
Saturday
but it was called. It was still Saturday night, but we got it in the afternoon.
We got it in the afternoon on ITV.
ITV.
Right after like reruns of A Team and Airwolf or something.
Knight Rider.
Knight Rider.
Is that where they put the bam and
Sequest?
No,
2049.
You're thinking of
Sequest DSV. You're thinking of.
Oh, do you remember with the fucking dolphin?
Well, this is now turning into a Sequest DSV podcast because it's more interesting than this one.
But Chris mentioned there it was at WCW with the POW and the WAMs. No, that was late 90s. That was when WCW was on Channel 5.
Oh,
and like
okay.
Le Parker would hit you with a chair and it came up like fucking Adam Bang. West and Batman, bam, in your face. So no, this was WCW on ITV on a Saturday afternoon.
This was the Surfer Sting era, along with Rick Rude and Hulk Hogan have come in at this point, and Ric Flair.
Lex Luger.
Yeah,
Sting was on the Jerry Anderson show, as we recently discovered this year.
Phenomenal on the Jerry Anderson show, being asked ridiculous questions that I'll post on the social media.
Yeah. But anyway, I think we should talk about the opening pay-per-view promo, because...
Right, we got one word to describe it. Go around the room. True. One word to describe it.
I can't describe it in one word, but I do have words to describe it.
Okay.
I said it was cringeworthy in a Poundland, are you afraid of the dark kind of way?
Mine's not too far off that, except I said opening sequence... is like Goosebumps, Are You Afraid of the Dark? So good! Nice throwback to movies like Monster Squad. That says a lot about me and you. You hated it. I thought fucking great.
I didn't say I hated it. I said it was cringeworthy.
Although
I did start to doubt any sort of affection I had for it whenever something happens in it, which we'll talk about.
My point might be completely negated, but the fact that I say it's throwback to these shows, this would have been...
This was current. This is current.
Yeah. I'm looking at a nostalgia.
Are You Afraid of the Dark just came out.
Yeah, I'm sitting going, this is so cool. It's like this back in the day. But no, this was it back in the day. So yeah, ignore me. I thought, I like it now. Maybe at the time I'd have been like, what the fuck is this shit? Like,
no, I think it would be the opposite. I think I... Yeah. I think back then I would have loved it way more than I do now.
So what you're saying is I am a child, because you would have liked it as a child compared to now. So I'm a giant man child.
Well, that's kind of the idea, wasn't it?
You're fucking Mangina.
Oh, thanks, fuckface. Classic Mangina, fucking prick. Look, I like toys, I like comic books, I like Goosebumps in my fucking wrestling.
Goosebumps.
This is the R.L. Stein of fucking WCW.
It felt like Tony Schiavone was auditioning for Eddie Munster back in the day.
Well, I actually just wrote Tony Shapiro.
Do you want some cookies? I'll show you something scary.
We should sort of frame it in terms of what happens in this. Basically, I said it's a bit like a cringeworthy Poundland or You Fear the Dark kind of thing. And I don't know about you, but see that fucking... that bastard vampire kid who's bound to be in Vampire Freaks nowadays. if he slid into our DMs and our Four Sweet accounts.
That's the only thing he slid into in years.
And then he's building up with the other kids that he's trick or treating with, and he wants to say, oh, we'll go to this house and we'll knock on this door.
I want this.
And they went, oh, I don't want this at all. I'm going to go home. He's like, look, who cares about candy? I came here to see something scary. And I'm like, what? To be fingered by a wooden Tony Schiavone? But anyway, hit disclaimer, he is not a kiddie fiddler. I don't know about you guys. I actually must admit that I loved WCW during this era, because I used to watch it, as we say,
Saturday afternoon, tea time,
you know.
Just after movies, games, and videos.
My God, what a show! Yeah. Retro gaming, let's go!
But I did not love it as much as Tony Schiavone loves kids.
Where was the fact that he just... you know, lures them into the house.
Yeah.
And it's like, do you want to see something scary? And they're like, that's not scary at all. And he's
like, I'll show you something scary.
I was like, holy fuck, he's undoing his belt.
It's not even, that's when he like ends up at the top of the stairs and you're
kids. Like,
he's like, wow, Tony Shapiro, how did you do that so quick?
It's like, oh, fuck's it.
Do you reckon that, like, you know, Tony Schiavone really got prepared for the role, like in a method acting sort of way?
Not say he went out and got arrested.
No, but by going into a forest and standing there with all the trees because he's so fucking wooden.
Oh my God. And what did he turn into? What is that?
He turned into from Batman.
Actually, I have a good point.
I just thought, is that you know the way that you like brought in like RoboCop and all these other gas things?
That's a fair point.
Is this a thing? It looked like a part. No.
Are you talking about the thing he turned into?
He says you want to see something scary, and he grabs his fist, and it was like Winters.
Did you know this bit? I honestly thought he was going to take the mask off and reveal Ric Flair and just go, whoa! Which I thought would have been so much better.
Scare everyone, you just whip it off and it's Chris Benoit. You're like, oh no!
Jesus.
But you're right, he was a monster, and it had no real context of the show. It wasn't like a gimmick by any other wrestler. It wasn't a known monster.
He was just third finger kids.
It looks like a familiar monster though.
From Are You Afraid of the Dark or something.
But there was no context. From my nightmares. And it sort of built for me. I thought it was really funny. I thought it was great crack. And then it was like, oh, seriously, something scary. Boom, Halloween Havoc appears on your screen. It was like...
it was kind of catchy. What? And that was weird the way they went in that transition. And you know something? When it came up with the Halloween Havoc title thing.
Yeah.
And it cut to the actual pay-per-view. And it was a really sad looking like skull/pumpkin graphic in the corner.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, fuck me. If I was doing that promo,
they could have done a nice thing where he pretended to pull his mask off or something, and they could have cut to maybe Vader jumping in the kid's face, showing him as the big monster.
The only thing
Tony
Schiavone was pulling off was his fucking
trousers.
But you know what I mean? They could have at least tied it into the fucking pay-per-view. It was a real left
out of context.
Yes, out of context. And if you were a teenager watching that, I guess at the time you'd have been going, fuck me, wrestling is for kids.
Yeah.
Really, that was a bad sort of stigma that only helped push even further.
Yeah, but that was their target demographic at the time, you know, toothless yokels and kids.
And then just to make things worse, Tony Schiavone then, you know, would cut to the actual pay-per-view.
Yeah, he's dressed
up as
Jesse the Body Ventura.
No, I actually thought he was wearing a disguise to shield his identity from the police after the after the kid incident.
How did he catch a predator? And yeah. He's sitting there dressed up as
like, I'm not Tony Schiavone. I didn't figure any kids. Basically, yeah, he does look like Jesse Bonaventura, and he's got like.
But Jesse's dressed up with this fucking monster face, and then he says, "What does he say that he's the most notorious fucking gynecologist because he's dressed up as a doctor?" I'm like, this show's definitely not for kids anymore. It's like, holy.
I wonder if he said that to the kiddie girls.
Oh fuck. Yeah, before we move on, because okay. I was a bit heated at the start, I'm going to say...
He settled down. Now that we're talking about pedos, he's actually calmed down.
Yes, I've yeah.
It's bringing back memories. How's your uncle?
I haven't seen him in a while.
Locked up.
After the last visit, he got locked up. I haven't seen him since.
He never returned your calls.
You haven't seen him except over your shoulder.
He sent cards for like the first year, but now I haven't heard of him. So, but anyway.
Oh man!
Holy fuck!
Sorry, Chris. I am a big fan of Mick Foley, as you know.
Yeah.
I am also a big fan of Fyodor, and I respect him as one of the best big man wrestlers.
He did 20 minutes ago.
But that's what I'm just saying. But this match has opened up a lot of
issues,
anger, and issues in me.
And some repressed memories.
Some repressed memories. Yeah.
From Uncle Leon.
Oh, I have to say,
so good.
Immediately upon this match or this pay per view when it opened up, they started talking about this wheel gimmick that they had.
Yeah, Eric Bischoff's wearing this weird like.
Is he
Gettysburg?
Gettysburg,
yeah.
Yeah.
I was like,
it's
Halloween,
come on.
Yeah, it obviously
dressed up as New Orleans.
Yeah, so it's all just this whole carnival-esque atmosphere. But what was with the wheel? I was like, it was like some sort of weird mashup between sort of gimmicky 80s, 90s Wheel of Fortune style game show
and wrestling. And he brought that back to Raw when he became the GM.
He did, every time they were in Vegas.
Yeah.
But the thing about it was different match stipulations. Yeah. And that's how they picked the Texas
but
Death
But obviously, yeah, well, obviously, there was obviously someone standing behind the wheel to stop it or not. But I sort of thought...
Is this you saying wrestling's predetermined again?
Yeah.
I'm not following.
I am. You know, but I actually thought
we'll
that...
We'll get that someday. But
whenever it originally settled on the Texas Death Match for this match,
mm-hmm.
I thought that immediately suits Cactus Jack.
Mm.
Immediately. Mm. Yeah, given his hardcore background. You know.
The fact that he's called Cactus Jack in Texas, you think there's a fucking...
No, I meant in general because they're meant to be really nasty matches.
Do you feel though that any match that suits Mick Foley, though, he always loses?
Yeah.
Just like a penny drops.
Oh yeah.
I quit Hell in the Cell.
Yeah, fair enough. Anything that's extremely violent in its concept, he loses.
Yeah.
Because he's willing to do the worst.
Because deep
down
he's a really nice guy.
Yeah, not like Bret Hitman Hart.
Man, fucking spitting on Vader, you fucking cunt.
But yeah, I just thought it was like a fucking really bizarre match.
But it's WCW and it's 1993. What more do you expect?
You're just throwing anything at the wall.
Exactly.
See what shit sticks.
See what shit sticks, and the peanuts are right in the fucking grout, and they've just thrown a big turd, and they're sticking.
And the shriek corn.
And there's shriek corn in that turd. Yeah. No.
Actually, I have a note about the chair later in this match, actually.
Yeah. There's a shit piss in that chair.
It's even worse. It's like a rusty nail.
Yeah. Well, I think it was. Well, we'll get talking about the chair.
Probably the same shit piss chair from the previous episode. Who fucking knows?
Yeah.
He's following us around.
Yeah, to be actually, maybe they were sharing resources because they were both pretty down in their fucking in the 90s.
Money
wasn't flowing.
This is WCW led to the WWF later on.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, we'll sort this out, lads.
Right, match kickoff. Are we going for it?
Yeah, fuck me. It's really, really bizarre. Like, I mean, the arena isn't that big. It looks a bit like a basketball arena or something, but it doesn't look that big. It's quite steep sided.
The bleachers are fucking high.
Yeah,
I know,
I'm surprised how packed it is though for this year, because this is just before WCW did do the NWO thing and really, really took off.
Yeah.
So I'm actually surprised I made the bread even at this, because you always hear the stories of WCW sort of early 90s, the 80s, barely selling shows at all. Like, they had to give tickets away.
Yeah.
But
get people in.
How though? Because they had talent on this card, like the fucking Shockmaster. How was it not selling out? The fucking Shockmaster! Like,
the match before this was fucking Ric Flair versus Rick Rude.
That's true. And Steamboat's on, he's on the card
and
as well.
And this was the main event.
My Steamboat and Mr. Wonderful's on this card as well.
Yeah,
like, so, you know, they're good. There's good wrestlers here. Like.
I have to say, the entrance is so fucking weird.
Oh, yeah, no, I never really like this whole
the high ramp.
The high ramp.
It runs into the ring.
But I think that's
good.
But
it's not even a very long entrance either. Like, I know that it's a bad thing, but it just seems kind of weird. And it looks like it's done with that cheap carpet you'd find in office buildings.
I actually, let's establish sample cuts. You guys fucking hate this event, and I think
it's great. I love it, but it's in a real kitschy sort of way.
Oh yeah, I love it, but not entirely for the right reasons.
No, I get it.
I don't love it because the same way I loved Bret Hart Faye Austin in the previous episode.
No, agreed. But I for one aspect, that ramp, I like the idea of that elevated ramp, because if you're in the crowd, you actually get to see the fucking wrestlers walk through. They're above you in the crowd. You're looking up. They're like gods coming down that ramp. Imagine being there. That must
in theory, they can also get tossed off the ramp.
Excuse me? Tony Schiavone's turned up again? Who was tossed off?
Tony Schiavone just like he tossed off a few kids or got them to toss him off.
But I like the ramp. And again, it comes into play quite well during the match, which I think is fucking awesome. I really, really enjoy
it. Yeah, I just found it was very, very strange, but not as strange as something that I did notice.
Which is?
Is the what the fuck with the commentator's table being right up against the center ring?
Yeah, I'll hear.
But WCW did that a lot.
I was like, what the fuck? They're inviting carnage there, and not in a good way. Yeah. I mean, if this was Japan, Suzuki would have cut someone's head off.
Well, yeah, I will say it's probably not the most ingenious place to position there.
No, it's a fucking stupid place to put it.
If somebody goes up that turnbuckle and falls off the edge, you're fucked.
They're going through a monitor, like.
No.
But yeah.
I think the overall presentation of Halloween Havoc, it's a bit cartoony, it's a bit tame. They're
I do kind of miss wrestling shows like that
though. That are very theatrical.
I have to admit they're much more over the top stage props. You don't get that at all in WWE.
I liked all the wee gravestones and all that shit.
Like, if anyone from AEW is listening to this, probably don't do this show, but at least bring back themed stage sets.
I like that shit.
Look, just you can do Halloween Havoc, just don't bring back Tony Schiavone if he's not already in prison.
I liked the Halloween Havoc where they had the big massive pumpkin and like the big like a gargoyle holding it. I've seen that one, so I have seen another one.
Alright,
go me.
Not a competition, fuck this.
But yeah, to be fair, Vader comes out down the admittedly
oh my god, Harley Race looks like my Uncle Leon that went away.
Leave Harley Race alone, you fucker.
Vader comes down the admittedly short ramp, it's not even a ramp, it's just a walkway.
It looks like fucking Padbuster from Father Ted.
He actually does look
like Padbuster. He does look like Padbuster. Harley Race looks exactly like Pat fucking Mustard.
Just realized that.
And just like Tony Schiavone, he like to put his big tool in your box.
Pat Mustard, the seven-time NWA heavyweight champion.
Instead of being the father of a lot of hairy babies, I'm like Tony Schiavone, he'd finger a lot of hairy babies.
Can I continue?
My God, man.
Can I continue to make fun of Tony? Because as Cactus has come to the ring, he says, Cactus Jack lost his memory, lost his home, his family. He lost his bag, made it back, got his bag back. Now he has theater. What the fuck, Curry? Please elaborate.
Why the fuck do I have to elaborate?
You knew the rules. What is this all about?
Hey, hit the pause button though. Did Mick Foley lose his ear at this point?
No, he hasn't lost.
He hasn't lost his ear.
No.
That happened in Germany.
That happened after Vader. Don't blame Vader for fucking his ear. He was doing that. It wasn't he.
But blame the cruiserweights in the previous match.
To be fair, I think that weird kind of commentary there about all that shit about losing stuff and getting it back.
That's like me and my back at wrestling.
You know what that is?
I think it was just them trying to think of something to say about this awful match. Vampiro's
been reading that fucking sheet in fucking Lucha Underground. That's Vampiro talking right there in the future. And some of the shite he comes out with.
All we needed was a big fucking ripping fart.
You'd be surprised if Vader did.
Personally, I like when Vader comes in with Harley Race. Harley Race is one of the hardest bastards back in the day. Yeah. And Vader's coming in and he looks so intimidating.
Now he does.
He's
Vader's
massive.
A big fucking.
He's our heavyweight champion as well.
As I say, on the ramp, you know, he's above all of the crowd as he comes in. I think it's fucking class.
Did anybody do any research to know why the title wasn't on the line for this?
I think it mentions during the match that Vader injured Cactus, and this is
it's just a grudge match. But
so,
even still, like, I mean, I'm going to have a match with the champion. I want it.
Well, especially if Vader was going to win.
Do you know why? No, this could be.
Yes.
It's subject to interpretation. But I did read a bit about it. Now, there's a spot in the match that this ties in more with, which I'll explain later. But there was a whole point where Mick Foley was not being pushed in WCW. And he was feeling that he wasn't getting, not necessarily what he deserved, but he was feeling that he wasn't being utilized correctly. And Halloween Havoc, this event in particular, was one that was not being promoted very well. Due to the fact that there was no title on it, and they didn't think that he was of title material, but they wanted the stipulation of like a Texas death match, and he would have been the perfect candidate for it, as would Vader, because the whole feud in Japan. But they didn't think he was ready for a title.
Yeah, but why would you have someone wrestle your world champion if you didn't think he was ready for a title?
Because he suits the match. And the match was what was going to sell this.
But Vader wasn't suit the match.
Oh, he does.
Why put them on last if you don't think he's main event material? Then?
Ask Tony Pito over there. He'll fucking sort it out for you. But anyway, that's a bit of knowledge that I looked up, and I'll explain more about that later, because there is a spot that ties into that bit of research. So there you fucking go. There's a bit of something that may be the reason as to why the title was not on the line.
Right. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense, but it's, I suppose, nothing makes sense.
I was going to say it doesn't make any sense. You're giving off about the fucking rules.
No, I mean, it doesn't make any sense, but the context of WCW doesn't make any sense at this point.
Holistically, WCW
Everything's
sense.
Just up the left.
Yeah. Have you ever tried to watch a WCW War Games match and try to understand the fucking rules?
They put them in plain text in front of me, and I still don't get it.
They spent 20 minutes trying to explain the rules, you're still like, What the fuck?
Could you imagine them trying to describe the Royal Rumble? Because like, it was really easy.
They would confuse.
Starts with two people. Every 30 seconds, someone comes in. You're eliminated over top rope. WCW would need fucking 20 paragraphs just to explain the fucking timer. Now, when you see the timer on the screen, don't worry. It's part. It's,
that's
it's,
not
it's
countdown
to
the match
there,
ending.
Like, yeah,
it's just
your fucking cable's not going to cut you off. Just fucking.
It's not a rest period, you know. Everybody's not going to stop for those few seconds.
I just don't understand the rest period. Even back in the day, if you were like,
we will get into it.
You're still annoyed.
I am annoyed. Why have a fucking champion? Even back in the 60s, and be like, oh fuck, you know what? He needs a wee rest period. If he's your champion, he wouldn't want a fucking rest. Or get pinned for three to fucking have to get a rest.
Maybe he's got a wee stitch.
Stupid.
You're stupid.
Fuck's sake.
Maybe he's got a stitch. Leave him alone.
I'm so angry at this.
Will we just go for that?
I don't think so.
I don't even know why we covered this.
This is fucking great fun.
Okay.
Shut up, man.
Well,
it's the workplace of our friendship.
We have literally just had 26 minutes of talking about
right, let's go
and
by Cactus Jack is coming to the ring.
He didn't even get to the ring. He starts fucking lapping the shit out of Big Van Vader. He's literally on. It's like, this is like a fight outside the fucking welders.
This is where they start talking
about.
This
is like a fight down outside a fucking really rough bar.
I saw him first.
In Belfast.
In Belfast. They're literally two mill bags fighting over their man.
Same weight class.
One of them doesn't have any hair.
And Cactus Jack.
Mask.
Fucking leopard print as well.
I love that literally 2 seconds in, Vader's mask just gets fucked off.
He takes it off and then Tony goes, Vader's taking it serious, the mask's off already.
But I would love to know the context of why he removes the mask.
Why does he wear the mask? That's what I want
to
know.
You know what, actually I have to say, funnily enough, whenever they start trading blows, immediately they don't even get into the ring. It ends up basically working it down to the outside of the ring, and Vader, like a big stupid fucking glite, punches
the
ring
post.
and then kind of starts to stab him with a chair.
That doesn't come yet. No, it's Foley starts trading blows with him, and Vader trades blows, and it's like, how do you stop someone the size of Vader punching the shit out of you? You fucking bite him.
Vader's,
I love it.
Yeah, he fucking Cactus Jack literally just bites Vader's.
I love it.
Big fucking pork product filled head, and then hits him with a fans camera.
Yes, that's the only good thing.
He grabs a fucking camera after he bites his head, and he's like, "There's some fans for like, but not that we're taking photos of anything worthwhile in this."
Shut up!
And he just fucking grabbed the camera and really dunked him right in the head.
But again,
really fucking smashed.
In my fact checking, Foley does say that it was at this point in his match he realized he was onto something phenomenal. He said it was a really good match.
What, to get the fuck out of WCW?
No. He was saying that, you know, he felt the crowd was really getting hot for it because people were so close taking photographs, and that's why he grabbed the person's camera, because he was looking, you know, even more of an engagement with the crowd, like picking up the camera. Nowadays, you get fucking sued for breaking somebody's iPhone over Vader's head.
Oh god, yeah.
You wouldn't be allowed to do that.
He covers this in the book that I lent you.
Does he?
Yeah,
that I haven't read.
No, like he covers up his WCW, and then when he first goes into WF.
How would you know? You don't read your books.
I only read that one.
You only read that segment.
Yeah, I was like, this is too much. I just opened it randomly. I was like, I'll try this page, and I just couldn't read.
Saw Halloween Havoc and closed the book. Went, fuck this.
Even reading about it was tragic.
No, I love the exchange, the camera to the head.
That actually bit is class, because Cactus Jack really, really lays into Vader here, and the crowd is fucking loving it. And then he literally grabs that camera off the
not only grabs the camera, but he breaks the strap that
goes
around the person.
But he hands
it back to like this fucked camera.
Best photo is a big blur of Vader's eye when it's still in socket for once.
Do you reckon Vader actually kind of turns around if he gets blamed with the camera? And I kind of get the impression that he said something to the person in the audience going,
sorry about that,
I'll pay for that at the end of the night, just meet me backstage.
Yeah, because apparently he was a
nice
gentleman.
Guy.
I mean,
Vader was a
top notch, And Foley
as well as a gentleman.
Oh, I think Vader was a qualified accountant as well.
Really?
So he was a good guy and he'd do your taxes for you.
I would, as I was working.
Unlike fucking Ric Flair, who set up Ric Flair Finance and it went bankrupt within a year.
leave the memories alone, Trip. Leave the memories alone.
No, again, if Foley's not beating you in the head with the camera, he's always going to go for a fucking chair. Yeah. So again, like you mentioned, commentary is so close to the fucking ring.
Yeah, they're right up against it.
Yeah, he's practically in the fucking apron. Yeah. Like
that's the way PWE have their table.
I would never know.
Okay.
They model their paper. They model everything.
We have to be more Halloween Havoc.
Get a big leg on.
They did do that show with Paul London in the Halloween, actually.
Well, no, don't forget Paul London was
in the Welly.
What, oh, yeah, in the Welly Hotel, yeah, Paul London.
Well, I thought you said he was dressed as a Willy.
We've got this great idea. You can be a Willy.
You can be a giant dick.
Imagine a 450 splash.
Have you dressed? Have you heard of the
450 dick splash?
Imagine just doing creative. It's like I saw this thing call in. Oh, great, that's a great idea, guys. Let's go for. Why do you feel about being a Willy? Wait, what?
We'll call your finisher the balls drop.
Oh my god. Moving on away from phallic objects.
Moonschlung.
Chair shot.
Yes.
But not firstly, like your conventional. No. I'll let you explain.
Well, yeah, not like your conventional
chair
shot.
Beat
the
death of a rusty chair. Or
yeah,
this
chair, we mentioned the previous episode that there was the shit piss chair.
From with Bret Hart, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you could probably get like septicemia from.
This is the hepatitis chair.
This is the hepatitis chair where there's been so much shit piss all over it.
it's rusted.
It's been left outside with the shit piss on it and it's it's caked in the heat of Florida.
A possum has fucking give birth in that fucking chair. This is covered in shit and piss and possum juice.
Possum juice. And Foley picks up this fucking diabolical looking shit piss chair and smashes Big Van Vader across the dome with it.
See, all I kept thinking was, if you'd have kept your mask on, probably wouldn't hurt as much, dickhead.
I think it'll hurt more.
It's not even where he hit. It's the part of the chair that hits him. It's the really hard bit at the top. You know the way they bend the chair and you still got the back support?
Oh no, that's a different chair shot.
Well, it definitely hit him with a back support there, right in the top of the head.
Well, there's another chair shot that's fucking grim.
Is that where he actually hits him with the shit piss part?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that wouldn't be pleasant. Having a bit of fucking shit piss rust on your face, like.
But you know, like, they go into the ring here and I actually winced. Is that the right word?
Mm-hmm.
I
don't know what context.
Is this the clothesline?
Yeah, well, it's not even the clothesline. It's when Fader puts him into the turnbuckle here and starts punching the shit out of him.
No, the clothesline beforehand is brutal. Like, it's literally.
Yeah. Well, Vader was in just for his stiff punches.
Yeah, Vader.
But that
these punches are. Yeah, the clothesline initially was fucking. Like, it was fucking
that's
really stiff.
The clothesline landed and I was like, that would be me. Give me a 2 minute.
Yeah, and then the punches that he lays. He basically moves Foley, you know, catches Jack into the corner. And he, I mean, these punches look real.
They are real.
In the book, they mentioned that he wanted it.
That's what he wanted them to bleed.
What do you call it? Where they don't do it? It's a hard job. They call it when they bleed naturally.
Yeah.
You know, like when Brock did the elbow on Randy Orton. So
yeah.
Foley said he wanted. So that's why Foley always talks. He talks about loads of times that if you punch under the eye, it creates a gash or just above the eyebrow. It causes
for your skin's thinnest. That's why.
So he mentions that that's what he used to do a lot. He used to get guys to hit him with the side of the fist.
Sure.
Like a friction, and that's why he was bleeding a lot. That's why most of the times you see Cactus Jack, he's bleeding from above the
eyebrow. Do
you
know what, though? Vader isn't even glancing with the side of his
fist. No, these are full.
He's not just hitting him with the one fist. He's actually trading across with another one. He's hitting him with the right, then the left, and he's hitting him really fucking hard.
Well, Vader likes to really be stiff, so imagine what I'm saying here. Can you really hit me? He's probably
He's fucking really
hard. You'll never ask me again.
But to be honest, it was one of the things that I absolutely loved about the match was the stiffness and the cuffed blows to the ears.
You talking about your stiffness? Or
you? Yeah, and honest to God, I'm foaming at the tip here watching this. Like, this, I loved the exchange of blows.
The exchanges, the punches were great, I have to say.
And the fact that it just opened Foley's eye, brilliant, absolutely brilliant, early on, especially for a Texas death match.
Yeah.
If you're not bleeding within the first few minutes, where's the element of death about this? Like, so.
But
fair play to Vader for selling for Cactus Jack.
Oh, yeah.
There's a bit where he actually lets him suplex him, and I see
the
great.
That's what I'm saying.
That ramp has no give. It looks
it
so
doesn't.
Sore.
No, it's probably just fucking steel structure. It looks like underneath. You know, there it doesn't even
cheap office carpet on
you
top.
You often find that when wrestlers have a lot of respect for each other, they put on a better match because that it's going to benefit them both.
Yeah.
So, like, them doing all this, the real punches, the suplexes, the fucking selling, it's
It's because it's a show of respect.
Yeah,
and trust.
Trust.
Because
thank
these
you.
Guys have wrestled many times before, mm-hmm. there is an element of trust here.
Yeah, well, see, this is the problem that I have with this match, is that there's a real dichotomy here between the way that they wrestle, like in terms of like their punches, they're selling it. It looks fucking great on the outset, and it's fantastic, but the so-called big spots...
they don't land, do you mean?
Yeah, they're just a bit... well, we'll get onto those because it's coming up to a bit that happens.
The belly to fucking back suplex looks sore as fuck.
Because there's no give on the ramp.
This is still, to me, this is the good work, you know, at the start of this match. This is quality wrestling here. This is quality wrestling, but it does go downhill for the wrong reasons. I mean, there's a series of suplexes on the entrance ramp, and this is... you know, Foley hits fucking Vader pretty fucking hard.
He does, when he's exchanging blows as well.
Yeah, and Vader, after the suplexes, he's laying on that ramp, on that entrance sort of ramp, and fucking Foley is laying into him properly here. And then fucking...
Harley Race.
Pat Mustard comes in with a fucking shit piss chair.
Yeah, have you ever seen the power of a steel chair? It could be fell.
It blew your face in the side of a tree.
It's so slow. Harley Race, like, God.
I like how he's slow. He's walking
he's
up
so
there.
Slow.
It's because he's shit himself. He's probably him shit pissing
on the
chair.
But you know what's really fucking sad? It's like, poor Vader, he's now... passed away.
Yeah.
Harley Race, he's 75, I think, at the minute.
Fucking look 75 there.
You're a harsh bastard.
He did look old as fuck.
I know, but
probably
like,
only like 42.
Oh fuck. But it's the fact he comes
it's
up with
the chair.
It's
the perm. It's the perm. It adds years to you.
He's gonna hit him with a chair and there's no chance in
then
fucking
you got fucking
hell.
Danny McBride from Vice Principals doing the referee.
Oh, that's a good show.
Oh yeah, right enough, actually. It does look like fuck, I never noticed that before. Holy shit.
Kenny fucking Poe. Hours.
Oh, yeah. God. But yeah, Harley Race, he's only really there to bring that chair up so Cactus Jack can fucking wheel Vader across the dome with it. Like,
yeah, but
there's no threat from Harley Race.
But Vader starts
chair.
To bleed here.
Wow, there's no threat later
no,
on.
No, it's not. He doesn't bleed at this point. He bleeds slightly later on.
He falls into his own grave.
There's definitely.
Oh, no, no.
No, there's a bit of blood there on his forehead.
It's probably cactuses.
But to be honest, what I think happens is that.
This is
where it gets fucking
for
ridiculous.
Nobody here has watched this, and I can't imagine a lot of the listeners probably listened to us.
Fuck me.
Probably has
right.
seen
we
this.
Mentioned earlier that the entrance stage area had gravestones.
Yes.
And it was Halloween themed.
They referred to it as the graveyard.
The graveyard, yeah. Conventionally. So the Cactus Jack and Vader have walked up the elevated ramp entrance, whatever you want
past
to call it.
Past the gravestones.
Past the gravestone. And there is an open grave, which is
named for Vader.
Yeah, it says R.I.P. Vader, and it's just really...
It's just an opening for the smoke to come out, really.
It's just an access.
It's in the basement, and it's all lit with, you know,
probably cables and stuff.
1980s throwback horror fucking neon green light.
Which is
fine.
It's basically a runner's tunnel
with
cables
and
stuff. So people who are doing all the cabling, they can get underneath, lay the cable underneath the stage.
Vader rolls into that and Foley follows suit.
But it's a comical fucking roll.
But also, it's not only comical.
Two bags of fucking meat sliding down.
It's fucking terrible camera work.
It destroys
the illusion that it might actually be an actual grave.
Yeah. Who the fuck has
the
stage like
the steps and the uplighters?
I know.
As a man who works in events, that's ridiculous.
Put a bit of grass around it.
Yeah.
You know, make it look like your soil.
Like, I bet you Vince watched this and just went, I reckon I can do this a bit better.
Yeah. What were
Get me Mick Foley's number.
What were they trying to hide with the fucking fog machines?
All the cables.
Well, there is
Jesus Christ.
What I would say
Eric Bischoff having a wee smoke.
Funny enough, I'd put down
Tony Schiavone's down there with his kids.
Oh. His search history. Just fog over.
Do you know what the funny thing is that I actually made notes on this and I went and I fell under the grave under the entrance. Do you reckon they just had a wee sit down?
And they were like, man, a wee chill out session.
Oh, fuck.
Fucking a wee orange. Eat a wee orange. Get a vitamin C.
A wee orange.
Half time orange.
They couldn't have needed any more fucking breaks. Should they get a break after every fall?
I actually think maybe they bladed a bit more.
This is
Vader.
My point.
Oh,
Vader
down.
I think Vader was cut, but I don't think it
not
was.
Not big enough.
But not big enough. Or it was an unintentional cut.
Yeah.
And then he went down explicitly to blade down there. That was the whole plan.
Totally agree. Because you can hear the ref as well. The ref saying, I'm not going down there. And commentary's all, oh,
he's
not following them down there, trying to create this whole, you know, oh, there must be something dreadful going down there. And it's just Vader in a mirror with a fucking scalpel going, that'll do rightly. And he appears as if somebody has shot him in the head with a fucking paintball.
It's like when two broads go in the toilet and they're baked up with makeup. It's like, how's my makeup look? There's a wee bit more blusher on the forehead.
Do you reckon they took the infamous toilet selfie down there?
Is Vader fully doing a toilet selfie?
Fucking hand dryer in the background and some girl fucking rubbing the gear off herself?
Is it the pout?
Oh, I'd love to see Vader doing a wee pout.
The blood streaming down his
face. Oh, man.
But so yeah, it is comical. And you can actually kind of see them crawl away underneath.
It's not clear. It's a wee bit, and Cactus is looking as if to say, what are we doing?
It's not good. It is a wee, as Chris says, they're down there just going, let me get my fucking wished.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, it's funny. They're not down there for that long. And then they, you know, Cactus Jack comes out first. But they both eventually come out of there with big gashes and not the good kind.
I don't think Foley didn't bother.
Is there ever a good big one?
I totally missed that, you fucking creep.
Like, yeah. Foley's
if
eye.
I had hair around it, you wouldn't.
That's
sorry.
I do think that, yes, as we mentioned, that Vader is down there bleeding.
Foley does look grim though.
The blood's starting to show. Texas Deathmatch. Everything's coming together. It's coming full circle. That it is a very violent bout. But there is a lull here where Cactus is just waiting on the ramp and Vader's coming out and he looks exhausted, never mind battered.
I bet the commentary team's like, he's rising up from his grave.
No, he is literally crawling out of a
He's walking up the stairs.
An access panel.
Where we all saw Tony. Yeah. Calm the fuck down.
I think the
had a stir lift for the first 5
sending a chirp.
He's bleeding as he's going up.
It is comical because the camera sort of pans out as Vader comes out of that hole and
huffing and puffing
off. Huffing and puffing.
Fuck me, lad.
And in the big fucking gash.
He's just one step away from having a fucking inhaler with him. Like, it's just a poor bastard. Like.
But then Cactus hits him with a move and then they get another respite as soon as it.
Like, I know, he's like.
Yeah, but it's just a move.
No, it's a clothesline.
He fucking hits him with an absolutely brutal clothesline.
I love it, it was great.
And he's. Like, Vader literally just huffing and puffing out of that fucking hole. He's like, fuck, just give me a minute, lad. You know, and then as soon as he's fucking up out of that hole, there fucking Cactus runs down.
Clothesline.
Out of nowhere, like, fucking smashes him, like, fully. And Vader hits the deck really, well, Vader's going to hit the deck hard no matter what.
Big man. But I love the fact that that's our first fall that doesn't count.
Yes.
But the thing is, I didn't fucking notice it. I didn't get a 3 count out of it. I personally thought it was a 2.
I didn't.
The commentary team even said that.
I didn't understand at this point the rules, so whenever that happened, I was like, what the fuck just happened?
Okay.
Even the commentary team were like, that wasn't a three count.
Jesse goes, you must have missed it or some shit like that.
Yeah,
so.
Even the commentary team wasn't sure. It was just fucking bizarre.
I don't even think the referee knows. I don't even think he was a WCW referee. They were like in the car park. The referee said, there's no way I'm doing that fucking match. I'll ruin me. And they're like, you lad, do you want to make 30
the car park valet guy.
Yeah.
You know,
Elvis lives on a gravestone.
I love the Elvis lives on the gravestone. I think it's fucking hilarious.
And I might as well just say, dead.
Why not?
Why?
When's the last time you designed a gravestone, fuckhead?
I don't know, probably never will.
He certainly wouldn't put
dead
on it.
You designed mine, he's gonna kill me.
He certainly wouldn't put dead on it.
No. But I do like that we get our first fall, you start to see the rest period, and during the rest period, Foley takes it upon himself to lift a Cactus from the props. And to me, I was sitting watching.
Oh,
like,
fuck, that was great.
Is this gonna be a polystyrene fucking Cactus? What is this shit? Turns out it's fucking like made out of plywood.
Yeah.
And it looks like it hurts like fuck.
Aye, but it also still looks really shitty.
It's just funny the way they go, Cactus has a cactus!
I actually thought when he hit him with that fucking sort of awful looking plywood cactus and he knocks the plywood gravestone over as he's walking with it, I just thought this is devastating inefficiency.
Vader
is. This is just grim. Like, and this is for me, this is where it was went downhill.
I liked it. I thought it was good fun.
Do you know, this whole episode, I'm making it sound as if I take my wrestling far too serious.
You fucking
do. It's just this fucking.
It's entertaining, come on.
It is.
What's with that fucking. They have a table beside that ramp.
They got that from New Japan.
Yeah, I was going to say, that table looks like it's been through the wars. It actually looked like they'd used it for pasting.
I bet you that table has seen some shit just like the chair. That table and chair have seen some
shit.
Well, literally.
Yes, I have a point about that table that comes up because it's fucking absurd. And this is, I mean, I said this is where the match goes downhill. This just becomes. This referee must have picked this ref up from the car park.
You reckon?
No,
I don't think so. The bit you're talking about.
Okay, so
I guess another fall.
There's
from
a
the
second
drop.
Fall. There's a second fall from the elbow drop.
So another 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Cactus Jack gets a second pinfall. But we didn't even hear the first one because there wasn't one, but apparently there was. And then it basically was an elbow drop off.
It's an elbow drop off the elevator ramp.
That's
why I like the elevator ramp.
Which is fair enough. Okay, it's good as a prop to use, not the cactus prop, but the elevator ramp itself is good.
You
as
leave
a prop.
That cactus prop alone.
Oh fuck!
We need more cactus prop.
Cactus prop up your hoop.
All three ends of it.
All three ends. Sideways. No, but to be honest, I thought, yeah, that's fair enough. But when the fuck was the first pinfall?
Well, we saw it. Like, it was the clothesline.
It was not the clothesline, but...
It was a pinfall. Clothesline.
Well, the clothesline, but then...
This referee,
does...
I don't know. I think he might...
This
ref
clearly fucking makes crystal meth on his day off.
He was making it in the car park in the boot of his car.
Hey, I'm pretty sure I saw him making a murder.
Yeah, yes. Fair enough, actually. To be fair, Cactus then, you know, because he's got the rest period, he gets up.
As we crawl about,
because he's like, what the fuck do you do in a 30 second round? Not even 30 seconds. It's like, whenever he counts it down, it's like 10, 9, 8,
I know,
7,
it's 6.
It's like,
fast.
Fuck me, mate, give him a chance.
No, then, I bet you that stage, Eric Bischoff's in the back just going, lads, we've only got like 10 minutes left of this pick.
Yeah, 86 this death match. This is fucking bad.
But during that rest period, did you hear what Jesse the Body Ventura says? He's blathering on in his usual fucking way that he does. And he goes, the only positive thing that you can get out of this is these two are both pretty ugly to begin with, so at least they aren't going to get any uglier. It's like, what the absolute fuck does that even mean?
But no, I like...
I know, I like Jesse Ventura as a commentator.
Yeah, he's a good
We covered him in episode one with the Macho Man.
We did.
And he just comes out with just random
shit. Oh, random.
Even he's conceding
to
the audience.
It actually ties in with what he said later on. He says something and I just laughed because it summed this match up. He says, I don't even know if we could call this a match.
Straight off.
That's the thing I like about Jesse Ventura as a commentator. He kind of concedes in most of the matches he calls. Wrestling's a bit weird, lads.
He was the first one to say about that fall. He was like, I don't even think that was a fall. And he called bullshit.
I don't know how he's easy. Like, he's a real stickler for the rules, like even in that in episode one.
When George Animal Steel interferes, he's all like, oh, that should be a disqualification. He's straight in there and there's no fucking about. Like,
back to the match.
Bader punching the fuck clean out of Foley.
After he gets up after the rest period, after the apparent second pinfall.
And he gets out of the 10 count, he doesn't.
He gets out of 10, he's fine, he gets up. Cactus then approaches him again. But Cactus is at the top of the entrance ramp, and he technically has the vantage point to he starts attacking Vader. He punches towards his head, which is cut open. He's bleeding quite profusely. But then
Vader
just fucking
Vader's
turns it around.
Had enough.
Yeah, he's had enough, and he really
starts headbutting the fucker.
Really fucking hits him hard.
That's
again.
A big forehead too.
Yeah,
that is a fucking that's a melon of a dome like you get headbutted with.
And it's just this back and forth, and I'm just going. Fuck me. Like,
see, this is why I think
nasty.
This match is really good. It's very violent.
But
yes, there are some spots that aren't executed well, but it's like a bar fight in Texas with death.
The thing is,
Texas death match in Louisiana.
I
think those parts are good where they're fighting like a brawl.
Sure, yeah, it's
good.
And then there's stupid bits coming up.
Then there's stupid bits. Like whenever Foley decides to bring that fucked up looking table into the ring.
The heroin table,
the crystal meth table. And he brings it into the fucking ring, and I swear to God.
What about the ref?
He sets up the shitty looking half fucked table in the ring, and then the ref fucking helps him set it up.
I love it.
The fuck are you doing?
I love that even Jesse Ventura even points it out, just going, what the fuck's he doing?
I know.
You're fucking stupid, eh? Well, you fuck. Just fuck. Now go for it.
Come on now. Foley leaves the
and
table.
He doesn't even fucking set it up right either.
Yeah, no,
and then leads to one of the most ridiculous looking moves and botches in the match afterwards.
You're not winning this over here.
No, man. I'm not, but in fairness, he's got the table set with the fucking legs facing inwards of the ring. He fucking Irish whips him and Vader's getting those fucking leg prongs in his throat.
You probably find that Foley was like, I want to be whipped into the fucking prongs. And then the ref turns it around and goes, oh, this wasn't what I wanted to do.
Well, that's probably true. And then, yes, it does lend itself to be one of the
but
most hilarious.
The ref just picked the table out of
the
ring.
Turnbuckle.
Yeah.
Look.
The ref sets up the fucking table.
Against the ropes, not the turnbuckle.
Yeah. And then Vader is whipped towards the table in the corner. But he kind of like launches himself comically. Like a big fat lad. Doesn't even fucking break!
It's a belly flop! It can't. Physics is a thing!
I swear to God, if physics were a thing, he would. I swear to God, if physics were a thing, Vader would have fallen faster.
Oh God!
Somehow he defied physics,
I mean,
and threw him in there.
Fuck's like that table's like flimsy as hell. Like,
but he's still unbreakable.
No, that table's thick as fuck, man. That's a New Japan type table.
It's thick as you ever fucking thought this shit up.
In fairness, it was never going to work. The fucking table is resting on the ropes. They're going to spring. There's not going to be. It's just, you know, fucking forces, whatever, physics, science, shit. It's not going to work.
It's just whenever he launched himself at it, it's like, oh, you.
And the camera angle lends so much to the scenario of it looking even shitter. Get that camera in the corner. This is going to be glorious. Boing!
Be careful when that table breaks and it doesn't hit your camera.
If Matthew from Botchamania hasn't covered that one yet, he has to.
It may as well just be a wooden fucking trampoline. That's it. That's all it is. An elephant in a circus bouncing off a wooden trampoline.
I always thought that when I originally watched that last night, I had to pause it. I had to fucking pause it because I was laughing so
fucking
much.
Fucking pissing yourself.
I was
laughing.
I was shit pissing everywhere. Like,
oh,
that
chair. Take this chair.
I was like, get that fucking steam chair. I shit piss a little bit of laughter. And I swear to God, the noise that actually came in through my head when that happened wasn't the boing. It was like a doink. Just because it was like fucking ridiculous. It just seemed like there was no force to it.
Fine rightly that Foley's just went, fuck's sake, this was meant to be awesome.
I should have never came back.
Actually, ironically, that Foley, he tries to save face and embarrassment by immediately attempting an unsuccessful pinfall right afterwards.
It's terrible.
And then he makes himself look absolutely fucking daft with a sunset flip attempt.
Oh, it doesn't go.
Can I please?
Okay, Chris.
Can I please?
Pause.
Right.
Go for it. Go for it.
That's
what I just said.
Right. What the fuck?
What do you mean, what the fuck?
It was awful.
Vader, it's just the fact, right, Cactus goes and does the sunset flip, and Vader's just like, nah, mate.
Not having it.
Nah, mate. Fucking table didn't break.
And it was off the ring apron too. It was off the ring apron.
It was funny, you could tell Mick Foley knew he wasn't going to sell for it. He hesitated
it halfway through. He's like, oh fuck.
He like jerked a bit, going, oh no.
In fairness, this is not the worst time I've seen Mick Foley do this before. There have been instances before where he does it off the apron. And
he overshot.
And he just sits on the ground with his arms there going, fuck, I'm not holding on to anything.
I don't know.
So he loses his bag and he loses his fucking
he loses his grip
and his dignity.
Oh Jesus,
fucking
Christ.
Hell,
it is
himself
a funny spot, like,
stupid.
Do you know what this reminds me of? It's like, you know when you say to your mate, let me slap you in the face, I promise I won't do it hard, and then you just go fucking boom.
When Vader, you know, we try and save the spot, Vader tries to sit on him.
That's even made it even worse.
It made it look even worse. It looks like something that I don't know, like Yokozuna, or
it looks like two big sacks of fucking meat.
Looks like the fucking
blob
from X-Men.
But to be honest, this spot looks fucking 100 times better than the bit that happens next.
Oh fuck,
Cactus,
I can't remember now.
Cactus,
I do remember now.
Throws Vader over the fucking guardrail.
Well, no, he suplexes him onto the guardrail.
Okay, sorry. Well, he gets him on the other side and then he goes to do like a
fucking, oh, I know what you're talking about,
a flipping senton onto him, and Vader just stands there and watches it holding back as if to say, you okay there, mate?
Yeah,
he
actually flops Vader down pretty hard on top of
the guardrail. But then you forget about that instantly when fucking Cactus Jack running senton,
hits him.
And Vader just steps back and goes, nah, mate.
I know Vader's had enough, and his heels just sort of hit him in the tits, and he's like,
it's like Mick, I'm really tired. Now.
Is that it?
They get back. Fucking Vader drops him on his head over the guardrail again.
I know, he picks him up.
Fucking don't be doing that flippy shit with me, son.
It's like literally just throwing the trash into your head. Boom.
I think he just played a Cactus. He's a big guy and he thought, I'm going to try something really cool and innovative, and fucking Vader just went, no.
No chance.
He actually drops Foley really fucking hard back in towards the outside.
Kind
right
of here. Fireman lifts him over.
But it's the fact that you can tell even Vader's stamina is just fucked at this stage. Just,
I know.
Just,
I can't be bothered.
Just
fucking
throws
him. He's had like 4 rest periods in the whole match. He's even had a wee fucking 20 minutes in a green.
Do you want to remind me of? Remember, you probably won't remember us because you're that young. You don't remember much, I guess. But
like,
you know, remember the coal man that used to deliver coal?
And he's fucking in your back garden over the fence.
Yeah, over the fence. Or if it was like a yard wall, they would, like, one of them would scramble up a yard wall and then wait there. His mate would toss the fucking big heavy bag of coal and he was fucking into the yard. That's exactly what it was like. Yeah,
Mick Foley is a bag of coal. That is what we're taking away from this.
That's pretty fair.
Yeah. Well, the way he's done his flips, he's fuck's sake. But then
I'm sorry, I really can't get past the fact though that
Harley Race.
Harley Race is now Pat Mustard.
Yeah. Pat Mustard.
Pat Mustard is now seen on screen with a fucking taser. And if you're going to hide a taser to put it into the match, what's the one thing you're not going to do with it? Fucking start triggering it and go.
I wonder if this works.
Hang on.
What?
It's a Texas death match. Why is he hiding it?
To be fair, when I saw
Shit. Yeah. Well, if we're going to go by those logic, why didn't fucking Cactus Jackus walk out with a shotgun and shoot Vader? Or a blunderbuss? It's Texas. I'm allowed guns.
To be fair, though, it's funny the way, like, Pat Mustard, he fannies about with his fucking
taser.
He's like, can't get the work.
But yeah, but it's like, he looks like a creepy bastard when he's holding it. He's like, as if he's got some really dodgy porn.
Well, my uncle Leon used to have a taser.
That's how he got you. I don't remember anything.
Vader basically suplexes Foley, and then he gets up to the top rope, the top turnbuckle. I don't remember Vader ever doing a moonsault before.
No, he did this.
That's what he's famous for, because he's so athletic for the size.
I never remember. I was watching Vader.
For a lad that size, fair play to him.
Yeah, fucking hell.
He's got some good flexibility and agility.
But why didn't he fucking help Foley out when he was doing his sunset flip?
I can chuck a bag of coal, but don't get me fucking active.
Do you know what should have fucking happened after this moonsault? Cactus should have got up and went, fuck you. Crushed his sweet titties and went, fuck you.
I'd like to see you fucking get up with 450 pounds landing on you like that from a fucking Vader salt.
It was pretty impressive, you know, for someone his size to do that.
Big time. And he gets the fall, you know, which is...
For the first pinfall for him.
Imagine. For another wee rest.
I mean, yeah, but that's Mick Foley's first rest period in this whole bit.
Oh, look, and that the whole time during the rest period, the fucking
ref kicks the fucking table and he's like, well, that didn't break.
Yeah, fucking stupid idiot.
Heroin tables. Never book them. Never book a heroin table.
Wanker referee. Like, why? One job.
Why what? Why what?
During the rest bite, are you allowed to attack your opponent?
No, technically. But this is the irony is that there's a later pinfall.
Yeah.
And they just go fuck it and they start attacking each other.
No, like you see, because in this point, Vader has to stand back and the ref has his hands on his chest. Yeah. He's holding them back for the full 30, and the minute he counts out, Vader just kicks an absolute bag out of Foley. Like,
yeah.
Ooh, and I mean, punches.
Those punches to the side of the cranium are stiff again.
Yeah,
like the only thing saving Foley there is his long hair, because it's kind of getting lost within the impact. Yeah. Vader just, again, fucks him out of the ring.
Yeah,
onto
the entrance ramp, yeah. And I have to say, this is actually pretty good. In a kind of strange setup sort of way, because... you sort of think Foley's getting the upper hand.
And the piss chair comes back in from Harley Race.
Yep, the shit piss chair comes back in from Pat Mustard. But Vader ends up getting the upper hand and then sort of weirdly piggybacks Foley.
Foley gets on the back of Vader.
I mean, Vader's the one doing it. Like, he's sort of
piggyback. It's a sleeper.
He's holding him, yeah. But, hey, fucking hell, he flips himself backwards, landing on Foley with all of his weight. Yeah. And I mean, this looks horrible. That looks fucking sore, and that ramp just moves.
Do you remember I mentioned earlier?
That's a ribcage just crushed right there.
You remember I mentioned earlier about how Foley said that he didn't think he was getting a push?
Yeah.
And this match, and I said there's an integral part of the entire match. This is it. This spot, Foley actually says that he was so disconnected with what WCW were doing with him at the time, and he really missed being at home and traveling. And I think at this point he'd an 8-year career at this point. So he had said that this move, without Vader knowing, he was saying to do this to him, 450 pounds, and make it look so impactful. He actually wanted it to injure him so badly that it would be his career end.
Madman.
Honest to God.
No, I did hear about this, that apparently quite a lot of wrestlers, if they wanted early retirement, would have got injured by Vader, because apparently paid out the most.
Yeah. He wanted Vader to... He said that he wanted his back to be crushed and his ribs or something.
But apparently, the way to London or wherever the insurance company was... said that
they weren't paying out Vader matches.
No, they were paying off Mick Foley matches.
Ah, okay.
Fuck.
But yeah, he said,
we will cover earthquakes and typhoons,
but we will not cover fucking Mick Foley.
Yeah.
But yeah, he said he expected to be hit so hard with the impact of Vader, 450 plus pounds landing on him, that he would be injured so badly he would be medically cleared to continue in WCW, and that's how he wanted out. But being fully as he is, he's fucking unbreakable. He says the worst thing that happened to him is he had back problems and some disc problems in his back because of that. 100%. He didn't actually get as damaged. He was hoping for rib breaks, everything, that it would totally negate him from any more competition.
Like, fully can't be killed by
the mental really weapons. Can't.
He's like the Terminator. I love him.
When I saw that last night before this, obviously recording this podcast, when I saw that moment, I had to pause.
It's the worst spot of the match.
It was one of those ones where I literally paused it and went,
yeah.
Like, I've seen people nearly landing on their head, and you're like, oh, fuck that. Like, but it's the norm now, but I've never seen someone get crushed like that.
Not as brutal as that. I've seen that, you know, people take that sort of move before,
yeah,
but not with, like, there's no give in that ramp.
No. Nope.
Not like a ring where it has a bit of spring and bounce to it. He just fucking completely crushes him, and you see the entire entrance ramp.
Oh, it buckles a bit.
It buckles like fuck as soon as he does that. But you think, oh, look, Foley's not a small guy himself either. He's not light either. But him and Vader crashing down top of that, you know, that's fucking serious weight.
Foley's words were, I thought this would be one of the greatest ways to go out. Sadly, it didn't work out that way for him. Like, so Jesus. If you're going to escape wrestling, try and get Vader to murder you.
I know, and then after that, he went on to WWF, won a couple of WWE
and nearly titles. Died over and over again.
Well, where did he go, right?
Exactly.
Well, ironically enough, I don't know how the fuck he managed, but he managed to continue.
He fucking
on.
Goes on. Like,
yeah. I don't think the medical staff was scripted, if that makes sense. Yeah. I don't think.
No, I think they're genuinely concerned.
I don't think. Yeah. They probably said, well, we need medical staff, and they went, well, we've heard about this spot. We're just going to need a squeegee to fucking peel him off that ramp.
Well,
because he's going to be a pool of
the
blood.
Medical staff.
Well, they just roll up the carpet at the end of the night before they hit him. So I'm out. Fucking lake. And that's it.
Before the medical staff come out, I think.
The ref's over.
Vader.
Oh, there's more action before
Vader
that.
Vader gets the shit piss chair.
Yeah,
and
he
fucking
wheels him.
Stiffly smashes the chair onto Foley's head. I mean, it's pretty hard.
The camera's right up close.
Yeah.
It's
this is like, please end my career.
Well, that's what he wanted. Yeah,
he swings it like a baseball bat.
Yeah. And it's nasty, the hit. And then
Pat Mustard.
Even worse than that. Vader fucking being performs a DDT.
Oh, why on the fucking shit piss chair?
On the shit piss chair. And fucking Foley takes, like, this is nasty looking.
Do you remember when Foley fell off the cage and got his tooth through his lip into his nose?
Yeah.
Probably got a peanut up his nose off that shit piss chair. I'm telling you, man. Sweet corn in one nostril, a peanut in the other.
Just the way he sort of rolled over, it just looked like he was fucked at this stage. He didn't look like
he didn't know where he was.
He didn't even need to do that. That where he was on his back and Vader dropped him, he could have pinned him there.
Yeah.
And I would happily accept it.
End of match.
You're dead.
Yeah.
You fucking did. But then they were like, no, shit piss chair needs his fucking
song here. Yeah, needs to come in for another appearance. Pat Mustard needs to be
and
part of
Vader
it.
Vader just says fuck this and walks off. During the rest period he's doing a bit of dandering about.
But then the medics come out.
But this isn't even a, there hasn't been a pin, so this
I'm ahead.
I genuinely don't think that this was scripted with the medics coming out, because
genuinely concerned.
Yeah, they're genuinely concerned about him because he didn't look right.
And then Vader just goes, that's for your genuine concern. Beats the shit out of the medical boys, gets them
yeah,
out of the fucking
tosses
way.
Tosses their bag, not in a sexual
that's
way.
That's probably the bag that Foley lost, and he just
started fucking getting this.
He fucking Vader basically gets rid of the medical staff, and then he just
fucks the medical bag out to you.
Yeah.
Take your drugs elsewhere.
Yeah, fucking take your.
The ref was like, "That was my meth stuff." Son of a bitch.
Yeah, everybody looks shocked at it now. But then Vader just continues.
He wails the shit out of him, doesn't he? Fucking
it's
beats
just,
the living shit
just
out of the poor bastard.
Well, he actually pins him for a second 3 count, and that's Vader's second pinfall, and then he gets the rest period.
We should note that ever since the DDT, Cactus has not moved an inch.
No, he's sort of wriggling about lightly, and Pat Mustard's lurking about.
Well, Pat Mustard's lurking at the side. I can't believe I'm still calling Pat Mustard as well. There
is Pat Mustard.
Because as I said, the elevated ramp, you see Foley and he's pretty much dead. He's dead in the water there, and the whole camera span is allowing you to see Harley Race, and he's checking where the ref is, position and things like that, and it's all preempting to the use of said taser that we saw earlier,
which he barred off Tony Schiavone.
So
which he's having really struggling in Doric. I'm sure
to be honest, I'm very surprised that Harley Race didn't fucking electrocute himself.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that, him standing and just bartending?
Oh, that would have been fucking
That would have just cemented how shit this
WCW was. Yeah. It's like, oh my god,
do you think maybe that's the Chronicles of the ship piss chair? He was shouting out backstage. Stop!
He stood himself on the chair. Oh fuck.
Suddenly
it all becomes clear.
But you know what, actually, ironically enough, somehow Foley gets up.
I don't know. And DDT's Vader onto the fucking chair.
But Vader, fucking hell, he falls like a bag of shit onto the chair.
Because he's a big lad.
Yeah, he doesn't take DDTs well.
He's a premium bag of coal at this stage, for fuck's sake.
Fuck it. Yeah, he's the premium bag of coal. And and then whenever Foley's sort of, he's lying on the ground and he rolls over
to get up.
And fucking Pat Mustard
The conniving wee cunt.
The conniving little bastard.
Yeah.
He uses the fucking the taser and Foley, but ironically...
No,
but
it's off, but he's...
Oh, I know.
He shocks it. He it's sort of starts ridiculous. It up before he shocks him, then stops, like...
When he actually gets on his leg.
And then when he gets on his leg, he's not actually shocking him.
And it takes Foley, like, a wee minute to realise that he's got it on him. It's like, oh shit, yeah, it's supposed to be tased.
This is the thing...
I think Foley would have taken it.
I was going to say, I think Foley would have been one guy that would have went, make sure you fucking shot me with that.
Did you reckon Pavlos lapped it?
He fucking lapped it.
Do you reckon
he's a fucking lapper.
Like, don't fanny about. Like, Foley would sell that.
Yeah.
Not sell it. Like, sure, you got 10,000 volts.
He used to get thrown onto things that exploded.
But all he needed was just that... a quick shock.
He's been in C4 fucking no rope death matches. I'm sure he can handle 10,000 volts on his fucking leg.
Yeah,
sure, can't we all?
Someone's going to be held against him for ages. It's the light shock to bring him down.
But it is a bit of a cheap finish that because he is shocked, he can no longer stand.
This is the thing I didn't understand, because it just ended our door. I'm like, wait, what?
But that was the 10
again. This is what I didn't understand throughout this match, because I thought it was initially as the counts were going, I didn't know they really didn't count.
Do you think they were accumulating counts?
I thought it was like a 2 hour free fall.
Yeah, he actually kind of thought it maybe first.
And then
suddenly
I was like, hang on a minute. Jack has got way more pinfalls than you. You cunt.
Yeah, I actually kind of thought it was like first to three or something.
Yeah.
They
explained the rules. What more do you need?
No, they didn't.
They didn't.
Chris explained the rules.
No disqualification. Falls don't count.
Bingo.
30 seconds after any fall.
Yep.
You get a rest period.
There's a 10 second count. It says
after, but why have the rest period? Why just have the 10 second count?
Because that would be unfair.
No, it wouldn't.
I don't know. I don't make the fucking rules. I just watch
them. Clearly,
the
you time. Don't.
Because they don't know how to make the fucking rules. That's the problem.
Look, it's no war games. It's not that hard to understand.
It was fucking hard.
War games is like it's like whenever you had Warhammer back in the day.
Oh, I
just set it up,
man.
And you were like, right, let's play Warhammer, and then you bring out the instruction booklet. Then
the codex.
It's 400 pages. And went. You know, pages 1 to fucking 124.
And it turned to explain to the guy, mate.
I explain the backstory.
It's like, mate, I just want to paint them.
Yeah. That's it. I had thousands of fucking Spaceworks of Blood Angels, and I had 2 Codex books. Did I know how to play it? No!
You opened it up and zapped your mobile phone in it.
I didn't have a mobile phone back then. I used to just sit, paint the cunts, fucking put them on a table, go to your mate's house and just be like, now what? I needed a fucking dice with more sides that I could count. You were like, do you want to play a Mega Drive? Sound. That was it. Comic Zone on the Mega Drive. And your mag going, I'm not paying 10 quid for a fucking orc. You never use them.
I must have played Warhammer. I had a Warhammer set. I must have played it about 4 times in total.
What Warhammer set? What did you collect?
I had the original Warhammer. Orcs and Elves.
And I thought that was shit, so that's why I got Warhammer 40k.
Yeah, 40k. Fucking man.
Space Marines. Yeah.
Yeah, they were cool.
Man, Space Marines and Space Orcs and fucking... do you remember Space Hulk?
Yeah.
It's actually on the 3DO.
It's got a fucking great game.
Great game.
10 out of 10.
Do you even know what Warhammer is?
No.
Chris, Games Workshop, for fuck's sake.
You know Games Workshop?
Man, I was in the War Games Club.
I was in the War Games Club.
It's like Virgin Central.
Oh,
like,
fuck yeah.
It's hard to believe because we're both fucking
so
sex
cool right
gods.
Now. So
know,
cool right
cool
now. Watching grown sweaty men that look like 2 bags of coal fighting with a taser.
But yeah, we were briefly in War Games Society and I'm not proud.
No regrets.
We sat surrounded by Richard's retro games collection.
Yeah, that's true.
Shut up, it's cool.
And we're going to tie it all in with a Space Hulk game, and you've also got wrestling games. So back to the wrestling.
Yes, well, that was a really shit segue. So yeah, Vader basically wins after the fucked up 10 count.
Prick.
And it's because he was first to his feet, because he was lying on the ground.
Well, yeah, Vader was already up. Foley couldn't stand because he was shot in the leg.
And then
Vader's declared the winner. Yeah. Hunky dory, everybody wins. Vader's like, you know what? I'm exhausted. And he just decides.
I'll go for a pint.
He's like.
He pushes pot mustard.
He gets a bit annoyed because the crowd are booing him.
Yeah.
He's the champion.
Why did he not come out with a belt?
And then.
Because it wasn't on
the
ring.
But this is the fucking weird thing.
What?
Fucking Foley then gets up, right? Cactus Jack gets up. And then he hits fucking pot mustard with
the
DDT.
Why wouldn't he though? He cost him the match.
I know, but. It's like. Fucking. I swear to God. Race took that fucking DDT worse than the fucking...
Anything Vader took, are you trying to say?
No,
he didn't want to wreck his hair.
It was worse than that time that fucking Trump took that stunner.
Oh, God.
And that's pretty fucking bad execution. Like
that is... But the thing about it was... It's like literally when Cactus Jack grabs Harley Race... Harley Race is still...
We've just seen it on the monitor.
He's still holding hand with fucking Vader as they leave, you know... raising his arm in victory. Vader just like, fuck it, and just turns his back and leaves him because
he doesn't care.
Leaves him because his fucking balls are owned by Cactus Jack.
That's like someone Brock Lesnar would have done a yeah, crime like, goes, fuck
take that,
him.
Yeah. Yeah. And he gets absolutely, he's like fucking hung out to dry.
I think Vader was just embarrassed by that match and he just had to fucking leave.
Where the fuck's my paycheck?
Get the fuck out of Dodge. Like,
he needed another 30 second rest.
So, to sum up then, Chris, what was your thoughts on the match?
Oh, come on, that's not the whole match. Come on.
It is. It's actually over.
It's over.
No, we go back to Jesse and Jesse.
They don't even know what to say.
I know.
Like,
Jesse actually said, I don't even think you could call this a match.
Yeah, that was my point. I was going to say the match isn't over because the two commentators are literally, Jesse's body is like, so catch us next time at Roller Brawl or
yeah.
whatever the fuck
it is. We have new tag champions. That's our hard sell.
Yeah, they're so speechless. It's like, this ending did not go well. No one knows what the fuck is going on.
Tony's like, I could have been doing a lot more better stuff tonight than calling this shit.
I could have been doing... Oh God, I'm not going to say I love those little vampires.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Jesus.
He is a vampire freak.
I remember my final note on this match was, what the fuck was that match?
Oh, come on.
I just wrote, this match was
okay.
Shocking.
I love the credit roll. The credit roll is like the end of Goosebumps. Come on, it's brilliant. Like
it was,
over the haunted house.
Yeah, I never got that. You know, it's always for me anytime I watch them.
Vince
didn't
WWF. Because Vince was like, nobody's going to stick
but
around
you know
to watch
what?
Them.
It actually kind of made me want to go back and watch more WCW from that era.
Good.
Because it's like, it seemed like everything was done by the seat of their pants. Like, they just kind of made it up as they went along.
Like, if you listen to Eric Bischoff on his podcast...
they probably did.
No, he admits, he openly admits that his entire job was just to keep them in the black. He didn't actually care.
I mean, it looked like they just went, oh fuck, Halloween Havoc's today. What do we do, lads? We haven't planned anything.
I've done fuck all.
I said, is Hulk going to the show? No, fuck.
Shit.
I said, oh, fuck, we haven't planned anything.
Oh, that's draws.
Oh, fuck. Pat, what can you do? Oh, I got Taylor.
I got,
that'll do,
I. I mean, come on. I, to be honest, did you enjoy it?
I didn't hear it.
I enjoyed it for the comedy factor.
Yep.
I thought the brawling aspects of it were fantastic.
I can't wait to ask Chris.
I really did think, genuinely, honest to God, I honestly thought that the brawling aspects of it were fantastic. The hits, the strikes were incredible. Vader was very, very stiff with the hits, and it was good to watch in that respect.
Andy?
Yeah, no, it was mental. It was balls of the wall bonkers and bits. Did I say it's one of my favorite matches of all time? Not even close.
Not even close.
It's not even my favorite Vader or Cactus Jack match.
That's a fair point. I to be honest, I think.
What are your thoughts on
it? To be honest, I stumbled across this one a few months ago, watched it one night, but it was fucking lit.
How do you agree with you?
I was very, and I just thought, you know what, this is great crack because it was getting reactions out of me. Like, sometimes we watch really good fucking matches that are so good throughout that continually saying, this spot was great, this spot was great.
Yeah,
you need
a bit of balance.
It's not good context for a podcast, and I thought, you know what? This match has good spots, it has terrible spots, it's got good storytelling, and it's got fucking grim, shite, hilarious.
There were storytellers.
I love the Christy's shaking his head.
But I think it's got so much there that adds to a whole dynamic of a match that makes it so much more fun to cover, and I would highly recommend that people seek it out on the network, just as Andy says, because it is fucking bonkers. And go and watch the intro to the show because it's a Goosebumps throwback. There is so
and
much...
It's darker than a Goosebumps throwback. Like,
watch
that.
The intro.
It is fucking hilarious.
It's worth $9.99 on the network alone.
It is. I think it is so much fun. This is better than watching any Surfer Sting that's a clean match with a clean win and baby faced up and stuff. I think
Surfer
it's
Sting.
Really, really
oh, yeah.
good.
We all love Surfer
Sting. It was an innocent time. Apart from Tony Schiavone.
I love this match. I thought
it
was really
good. Came to life back then.
I thought it was really good fun. The only thing, as
Tony
I said,
Schiavone's Dungeon of Doom.
Oh,
Dungeon of Doom was a thing in WCW. Look it up.
That's a different Dungeon of Doom.
That's like fucking Fritzl's Dungeon of Doom.
That's the back door. The Dungeon of Doom.
Oh,
for fuck's sake.
I'm sure Tony Schiavone like the back door for your kids.
What I'm trying to say is, watch it. It's good fun. It's good fun. It's a great wee fucking match. For the feud that Cactus Jack and Vader had over a period of time, it's got so much to it, bit of fun, but nothing I say is ever going to fucking change Chris's mind.
Can I just say before Chris comes in with his thoughts,
he's lifting a chair, he's probably going to hit me with
just to add to yours, I think that in the context, if you were with your mates, and you're having a load of beers in the house, you know, and you're sitting and you want to watch something, watch this. Get the beers in, get drunk, and you will
take the piss out of it.
Because it is funny. But in terms of quality wrestling, don't be expecting that. But it's a very good snapshot of the era, because wrestling at the time was pretty rudderless. You know, it didn't really know what it was.
We were kind of going for that transition period of the golden era of the big guys, Hulk Hogan and... Well, actually, Hulk Hogan was about to come into WCW. All the golden era guys at WWE.
They're coming into WCW, But
the bargain bunch.
But that said, though, for in WCW's defense, they were on the cusp of striking gold at the NWO at this stage.
Yeah.
And they were going for a transition period. This is just pre that. And to their credit, they made WWF change the way they presented their product.
This was them in the middle of their lull as well.
This is just pre Monday Night Wars. This is pre Nitro and pre WWE Raw.
It is 93, so it's for me, it's a bit ahead of its time with the blonde and the balance.
Give it that.
So, Chris.
Chris, what are your thoughts?
Take us home here, mate.
All I have to say about this match is that it happened.
Putting that little box in the back.
Suppress those memories.
If I was asked to write a review of this match, I would just write, "It happened."
Oh, come on!
It was fucking terrible.
Show me on the doll where the match
we have covered matches that have not been in the podcast, and they were terrible matches. This was not one of them.
For entertainment, this was fucking amazing.
Exactly.
But at the same time, I was watching as if to say, what the fuck is going on?
You don't watch enough wrestling to not enjoy that, man.
To be fair, that's pretty much the sentiment when you do watch WCW that year.
Oh, okay.
That is better than any main roster shit that WWE are doing
that's
harsh.
Come on. You got fucking R2.
You can down with Brian AJ Styles and
SmackDown
Seth Rollins.
What I'm trying to say is that there's still a product that's being put out there that is nowhere near or as enjoyable.
How about I change my opinion? It's not that I hated it; it's I don't understand. It's like shoehorns and everything else.
Oh, for fuck's sake!
I just don't get it.
Well, to be fair, there were shoehorning gimmicks into this.
Trying to shoehorn a bit of wrestling in there and failed miserably.
Fucking Foley trying to shoehorn a sunset flip. It didn't work.
I think it's because, growing up, I loved Foley. But I only knew him from WWE, and then I went back and looked at his ECW stuff. I've never seen this match before. And then watching it last night, it annoyed me to see someone make a complete fucking dick out of him. And the fact that he was trying to do this stuff and it was just no sell. The match could have been so much better if things had have went differently, if that makes sense. I love a good botch, but I just think that, I don't understand how this was a main event. Do you get me?
Should have been the main event.
I look at it and
Flair and Rick Rude, you're going, that's a main event. That was a title match as well, I think.
Yeah, and I just learned something. The big gold belt that they were actually fighting over used to be known as the WCW International Heavyweight Championship, because when I saw the end of that match and Rick Rude was leaving with a big gold belt and then they said that Fader was the champ, I was like, hold on a wee second.
What's crossover here?
Yeah, so... there we go.
Well, did you know that Vader didn't actually win any belts in his time at WWF?
Yeah, because he was only there for a couple of years.
I know, but the only thing that he actually won was... You don't know?
No, I have no idea.
A Slammy Award for the crime of the century because he assaulted Gorilla Monsoon in 1996.
But you fucking said Vicious ran over someone. That was a crime. Bigger crime.
Fuck's sake.
I don't know, because Gorilla Monsoon was universally loved. That is a pretty big crime.
See?
It's as well Tony Schiavone wasn't in fucking WWE.
Crime of the century. Multiple crimes of the century. Oh, but Jesus. Apparently he did. He won a Slammy Award because of that, but it was all...
You researched that.
I did research that. Because he was... You're going to appreciate this. You know why?
Apparently, and we'll go back to Shawn Michaels being a dick in the 90s.
That's right, because they had
Shawn Michaels refused to drop the belt to him at SummerSlam 96.
Well, Vader won the Slammy because he had to commit the act of assaulting Gorilla Monsoon so that he could get fucking suspended because he needed a wee rest. He was looking out for another rest period!
He was looking at another 30 seconds.
I think he got 6 months or something this time, though.
How many rests?
I was going to say something really dark, but I will go away with it.
Do it, Andre. Do it.
I was gonna say, but now he's in the eternal rest period.
Oh my god! Andy!
Oh,
he's probably still looking 30 seconds up there!
You're a fucking prick!
Fucking hell.
Oh man. I wanna talk about Benoit now, I feel less dirty.
To be fair, fucking Tony Schiavone should probably have an extended rest period in prison.
I hope you don't get a hashtag sentence. Tony Schiavone.
Yeah, well, no, to be fair, I think that sort of brings us to a close. I don't think there's much more we can talk about that match.
I'm surprised we were able to talk this long about this match. Curry, good find.
I told you.
Okay.
This is my thing. I'm going to try. I don't know. I mean,
for comedy and content value for the podcast,
yes,
it was a solid choice.
Yes.
Yeah, and I definitely think that if you're having beers with the mates and you want to watch some wrestling, stick the Halloween Havoc on 1993 because it is funny.
I enjoyed it a lot more watching it with you guys.
Good.
But last night watching it, I was like, what the fuck has Curry sent me?
Good.
I would rather you sent me the wrong match again. Shit.
I suppose he sent you the right match this time.
Yeah, it's true that says to you that it's not about the wrestling that we watch.
It's about
the people that you spend it with.
That's it, yeah.
And that's on that note.
A lovely sentiment.
That's a lovely way to end.
For being a bunch of four sweet, we're so not sweet. We're harsh fuckers.
But anybody who actually knows us knows we're actually quite nice.
No, but sweet keep me dead on. That's sweet.
You are not fucking dead on.
I am dead on.
Are you fuck?
I give you lifts.
Oh yeah, how we going? Is he driving me home yet? Are
I go drive the car while you walk.
Fuck off.
And while Chris and Curry are trying to figure out who's taking who home,
That sounds nasty.
Yeah, Tony's taking us both.
Tony's taking us both home.
He's taking just a bright time.
I got my best vampire cape on for him.
Do you want to see something scurry? Have a look at my internet browser.
You want to see something scurry? Yeah. Come on, fucking get it out of Curry.
I know.
Oh, fuck you guys.
I was going to say, if you want to see something scurry, you can follow us on social media.
Well, true.
Yeah, at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and
Vampire Freaks.
Fucking hear Tony's on there.
Looking
for the photographs.
He's looking for some little vampire freaks in there. You can find us on the social media platforms at The Force Suite and all those.
Yep.
You know,
and our website, forcesuitewishman.co.uk.
Yep. And of course, you can find us in, well, obviously you're listening to this podcast, so I think you've already found us, but you can listen to us on Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher.
Podbean.
CastBox. Yep.
Fuckbox, who knows?
Anything under the sun. You can find us on all good platforms such as those, and of course be sure to try and leave us a review on iTunes. I've been Richard.
I've been Andrew.
I'm Curry.
Chris.
And we've been the Four Sweet Horsemen.
Was when we fucking vampire motherfucker opens the door to start, and Tony Giovanni, the first thing he says to him, Tony, what's that smell? And I'm just sitting going, holy fuck, you better not say fucking fish fingers or something. And I was like, holy fuck. But it went nowhere. He just goes, what's that smell?
That's lube, son.
That's just.